Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, with the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon, if you need a playbook, Noble Gold says allocate gold now and avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. When fear reigns, gold protects. And right now, get a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin when you open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments today. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
We are here at America Fest in Phoenix, Arizona, with the amazing grassroots from all across the country. I am joined here by the legendary Steve Bannon and Matt Gaetz.
So
Matt, I thought I
Bannon
was casual.
And I are starting to look more like each other.
I want to introduce the new War Room fashion line worn by Gaetz.
Yes, promo code Bannon to get 8 black shirts for the price of 3.
I'm dressed up compared to them. Steve, you gave an epic speech yesterday. Takeaways for those listening on radio that can't be here. Give them just some of a window into what we've been experiencing here.
Well, it's the Army of the Awakened, right? And what MFEST is the 12 to 15,000 people at the tip of the spear. You're the Pathfinders, you're Force Recon, you're the Rangers, you're the ones leading the way. Every revolutionary movement has a vanguard. And 250 years ago on Saturday was the Boston Tea Party with Hancock and Sam Adams and John Adams and the entire crew. If they came back today, they would say this movement is the direct descendant of our revolutionary generation, right? That's the whole message, that if this group does not falter, does not retreat, does not back up, and look, we're going to have victories and we're going to have defeats, but we cannot be beaten, right? We cannot, just like in the revolution. It was, what, 8 years of fighting to get to victory? It may take that long here. The first stop is victory next November, House, Senate, and Donald J. Trump back in the White House.
So Steve, I'm glued to your speech last night, and what was so unique about it is I felt more empowered afterwards, not as a lawmaker, but just as an American. And Charlie, I haven't even told you this yet, but all the gossip and talk on the House floor was about which members of Congress even got to take the stage here. That's how powerful this audience is.
Amen.
That's how powerful this platform Amen. Is. The lawmakers understand that even the chance to cast a vision and see your reaction and response is really what drives this movement more than any boring meeting in a conference room with the RNC.
Well, and I got to tell you, I got lots of calls from members of Congress that I know, and you say, you know, why wasn't I invited? I said, well, vote better. I said, vote better. I said, vote better.
Follow Matt Gaetz.
They didn't like that. They didn't like that at all. And they said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you voted for the NDAA and you voted for all this nonsense. And, you know, look, we're very careful about who we platform here at the Turning Point Action Conference, Turning Point USA, because if you don't have, and by the way, we have a scorecard, Turning Point Action. Go to tpaction.com. We score every single vote. And so, but this is a whole new development, Steve. And I love hearing that, Matt, because lawmakers are starting to realize that the grassroots is leading the party, that it's starting to set the tone. This is a game change. Steve, we need to pour gas on this.
It's called populism. Populism. We're tired of having the elites tell us what to do. Republican elites, Wall Street elites, Silicon Valley elites, it doesn't matter. Strength and power comes from the people, right? That's where we fought. That's where we left Great Britain at the beginning. They were the greatest empire on earth. We broke away from that and took a gamble, a roll of the dice. Why? Because we would not live under tyranny, and we wanted liberty. Liberty. And that's why, by the way, you see guys like Gaetz in Congress. these fighting, hey, we're not winning every battle, but we got a plan eventually to win all the battles and to take the House with MAGA Republicans.
How many precinct committees?
Steve, listen, I'm just glad we're not losing every battle. You know, it feels so often, as I said yesterday, like the leaders in both parties work for the same special interests. And we've got to show a distinction, a vision, something that draws people in a positive and inclusive way. But that doesn't mean painting in the pastels. We draw people in by being bold, by offering bold solutions like we see from President Trump. And they don't have to be complicated. Oftentimes, it's the application of common sense. And that gets drained out of how we make decisions because so many of them sell out to the lobbyists and special interests and the donor class, and they forget all about their connection to the people. And so if we restore that connection by empowering this group, we will see better governance, a stronger Republican Party, and more victories on the way.
All right.
So now we got to get into it. I gave you guys both a heads up, all right? You buckle up, everybody, right? Now, you guys know this.
Yeah, and I said go hard on him.
I'm a big fan of Matt Gaetz. We all like Matt, right?
Well, Charlie, you weren't going to get me a speaker.
I this comes from a place of love. Yes or no, up or down vote, Speaker Johnson, what do you guys think?
Yes.
Mostly good? You guys like what he's doing? I think he's been a colossal disappointment.
A lot of room for growth.
So, but here he is. I have a biblical worldview. I'm a Christian. What's going on, Matt?
If I had to give Speaker Johnson a grade, it would be an I, incomplete, because there is a great deal of work ahead that we must endeavor upon. But keep in mind a few facts where we were and where we've come to. Kevin McCarthy told us that we could release no more January 6 tapes, that was completely over. Now, there's more work to do, but we got more tapes out. Kevin McCarthy, for 7 months, had bottlenecked all the subpoenas. Did you really believe the investigations of these folks was serious in the absence of sending the first subpoena for 7 months? We got the first subpoenas to Hunter and Frank Biden out in days under Speaker Johnson. More work to do, but that's directionally correct. Now, on the spending matters, we had only passed 2 single subject appropriations bills for 7 months under Kevin McCarthy. Out of the 12, we've only got, I think, 3 left to get to under Speaker Johnson. So we're not winning every fight. Mike Johnson was never going to be Matt Gaetz. We're 2 different people. If I ran for House Speaker on the best day, with the wind at my back, with all of the stars aligned, I could maybe get 11 votes. Okay, so you have to recognize that we still have Republicans who want to claw over one another to give more money to Ukraine. Now, under Kevin McCarthy, there were no stipulations, no requirements. Send more money. If it shoots, send it, was the doctrine under McCarthy. Now, Johnson might not be where I am, but he's at least said we're not sending money to Ukraine without a plan for victory or the border. And by the way, we're not going to deficit spend. We're not going to borrow money from China to send it to Ukraine. We're going to take it right out of the rear end of the IRS. And we force the Democrats Amen. To say that they'd rather fund Amen. The army of IRS agents than the army fighting Hamas. So the grade is incomplete, but I can't turn this battleship 180 degrees. I think we're turning it in the right way.
Help me understand why he said no CRs and then he lied about that.
Well, because he didn't have the votes.
But why is Speaker Johnson lying
Maybe
to his
Maybe they all
voters?
Lie about no CRs, because they've all okay. said it, and
but,
then we get CRs under
why
all
is a guy who says he's a Christian lying to us?
Well, I think that Mike Johnson viewed this short-term bridge as a way to liberate ourselves from the CRs. But also, Charlie, remember that the original sin in all of this was that debt limit deal.
Amen.
Where they underwrote all of the Biden debt. Unfortunately, what they built
Matt,
into that...
Hold I on, hear you. That's D.C. speak.
No.
Shut
no.
down the government.
Oh, listen.
Shut it down.
I stood on the stage yesterday.
Then don't
shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down.
So here is the unfortunate trigger that was in the debt limit deal. In the event that we exercise max leverage because of what was already approved, not by me, but by the Republicans under McCarthy and McConnell, that triggers an automatic CR at a 1% reduction across the board. I don't support across the board 1% reductions as some massive victory. I think we need deep vertical cuts to entirely abolish unconstitutional agencies like the Department of Education and the ATF and the EPA.
I agree. So, but Matt, really, really quick, do you have any hope that when you guys come back January 15th or January 9th, that we're going to, are we really going to get spending cuts?
Look, you don't have a majority that supports spending cuts. Let me be straight with you. When we put up hundreds of amendments to cut spending, you get a lot of the New York Republicans and a lot of the California Republicans that will not vote with the Freedom Caucus and with the Fiscal Hawks. So the answer to your question is, you do not have a majority in the United States House of Representatives that really wants to cut spending. Now, I'm doing everything I can to motivate and persuade them. Look, I look at the squad. There were four of them. And then I look over there now, and every last one of them looks like they're in the squad. So maybe if we get a little bit of courage, more people like Eli Crane and Andy Biggs and Paul Gosar from Arizona, you know, if we get more people like that, send me 10, 20, 30 more fighters to Congress. I've met a lot of them who are running out in this audience tonight, and that backup would be much appreciated.
Wait, Steve, you got a thought on that? He's staying out of it. So.
I'm saying, no. Hey. Gates is one of the smartest young men in this country, and one day will be a president of the United States.
The world is in flames, and Bidenomics is a complete and total disaster. But it won't ruin my day, and that's because I start my day with a hot America First cup of blackout coffee. Now, I've been trying to trim how much coffee I have, but when I have coffee, it's blackout coffee. This coffee is 100% America and 0% grift. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values, from sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping. They embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. By the way, I was traveling recently, and somebody brought me a cup of coffee, and it tasted really bad. It was really bad. I said, where's my blackout? And they said, we didn't bring the blackout on this trip. And I was really disappointed. It was a tough day. When you get used to blackout coffee, you know what I mean. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Use coupon code Charlie for 20% off your first order. By the way, it's kind of coffee season, isn't it? It gets dark around like 3:30. It's cloudy. It's not exactly the most uplifting weather. You kind of need to pick me up sometimes around 2 p.m. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Be awake, not woke. That is blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Promo code Charlie. The taste is amazing. It is smooth. And people know that I need my cup of coffee in the morning. Not too much. Not over the top. But if it's not blackout, then the mood is not so good. Go south. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Great company. blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Promo code Charlie.
So we have Congressman Matt Gaetz. I just want to say, Matt, you're doing a great job. This is not directed at you, but I, for one, am pretty upset. I'll just go through the list. We extended 702. We got to make sure the mics are on, guys. We extended FISA 702 for a couple months, so that fight is still looming.
No, we say functionally it extended for a year because the way the FISA process works.
You're not making the case for Johnson better.
I'm not. By the way, I'm here to tell the truth.
No, I
have spent years of my life exposing these abuses in FISA, 278,000 of them. When you catch someone breaking the law 278,000 times, you should not reward them. I can't even believe I have to say that. But what they'll do with this short-term extension, every single one of those warrants they have, they will extend it for the full year. And so it functions as a full year extension. The reason that's important is it drains all the leverage that we have actually pushing for reforms. And the main reform is not some complicated legal jargon. It's just, if you're spying on an American, you should have to get a warrant. I can't even believe we have people in our government who are opposed to that. But we've seen over 10,000 people have access to these backdoor searches that they use against Americans. So, it gets me upset.
Yeah, and you guys all went home. I know you wanted to for Thanksgiving and Christmas break, not really, let's just say working extra hours while the country's in crisis. We come back. You guys come back January 9th. The deal expires January 15th. Here's what I think is going to happen. Right, come back January 9th. Oh, it's an election year. It's an election year, and we might get maybe a modification here or there, but I'm cynical. I'm cynical, Speaker.
No, well, I'll just tell you what you're going to get.
All right, tell us.
And it is not what I want, and I am fighting like hell against it. But all of the political momentum right now is to go to the 1% cut CR that was negotiated in the debt limit deal. And that's
not even a cut. It's a cut in the rate of growth.
By the way, it's a $78 billion cut. And on top of that, they want to add a $100 billion supplemental, of which $60 billion will go to Ukraine. So that is the way. They want to do a 1% cut and then do a big dollop of Ukraine money on top, then more that subsumes it. So that is what I'm fighting against. And my problem is, no matter who the Speaker of the House is, we got too many big spenders. And we got too many people who still want to fund Ukraine. And we got too many people who still want to extend FISA without any substantial review to the warrant requirement. And that is the Republican Party I face every day. And it's why I need the folks at Turning Point to be more active in sending me more backup to be able to win more of these battles.
Well, we sent you Ana Paulina. So,
you did.
We got Ana Paulina Luna.
Send me 30 Ana Paulina Lunas, we will save this country.
Yeah, well, that's a big task, but we can go about doing it. And so then going into this legislative session, the 702 is coming up in spring. We might be able to get some moderate reforms on that, but probably not. And then we just passed this trash NDAA bill, this National Defense Authorization Act, which funds our woke military. I know that was a tough vote for you because you have a lot of military in your district.
No, it wasn't, Charlie. I love our military, and I would support a 5% pay raise for them. But the service members in my district are more worried about what is happening to our military than anything else. So while I love and support our military, I am not going to vote for these authorizations for more DEI and CRT and all these things that are changing the military in a really dramatic and negative way for the country.
Yeah, so, but why did Elise Stefanik and Jim Banks, what are they thinking? Why are they betraying their voters like this?
Look, I don't speak for them. I don't believe there was any strong conservative case to make for this NDAA outside of the 5.5% pay increase, which who among us would want to vote against that with all of that our service members have to go through? But I made a commitment to the families in my district that I'm not voting to reauthorize weapon systems and new programs if we do not restore the 8,600 people who were separated from the military over an experimental vaccine with their full rank and back pay. And if you get more people to commit to those demands, then you create political momentum for those objectives. But look, the, you know, Raytheon and General Dynamics and Lockheed, they all got theirs in the NDAA, but I think we left our service members short.
Final question, Matt. It's a tough one. If Speaker Johnson betrays us again, do we motion to vacate?
Well, we have to see what comes next. I mean, when I did that to McCarthy, I undertook a tremendous amount of political risk that, I mean, we have a two-seat majority right now, okay? On any given day, one of these octogenarians I serve with, if they're not on the last hole, they're on the back nine.
And we did it to ourselves. McCarthy resigned.
Well, McCarthy took his
follow-up.
I think McCarthy should have stuck around. If it was about the agenda and what Republicans were trying to do to save the country, he would have just taken his ball and gone home. But I think that was very revealing that it was just about him and his own ability to have laudatory titles. And so I think we can do better.
All right, everybody. Matt Gaetz, he's fighting hard in D.C., which we have more like that.
This Christmas, the new film from director George Clooney arrives. It's a rag-to-riches absolute crowd-pleaser based on the number one New York Times best-selling book. This inspirational true story about one of the most difficult sports in the world and the 1936 University of Washington College rowing team that competed for gold at the Summer Games in Berlin will inspire you. This team rowed out of need to eat, need to sleep, and it gave them an edge that captures the power of working together to overcome all odds while rowing for America. They don't make movies like this anymore, and it's filled with wholesome content that makes it an ideal multi-generational movie for Christmas. Joel Edgerton and Callum Turner star in this exciting and incredible story of courage, hard work, and determination, showcasing America at its best. Believe in each other. Believe in the impossible. The Boys in the Boat, open Christmas Day in theaters only. Get tickets now, boysintheboatmovie.com.
Dr. Lindsay, welcome.
Hey, Charlie.
So, lots to talk about. Elon Musk has been focusing on DEI. You are an expert in this. For the uninitiated, what is the threat that DEI poses to the American Republic?
DEI is the implementation of communism in America through its institutions. That simple. That's how they get communism into our institutions. So we start, just to break it down, what are the words? Diversity, equity, inclusion. What's equity? An administered economy in which shares are adjusted so the citizens are made equal. That's the definition of socialism, too. How about that? And so equity is socialism. Diversity means diverse against the American values and free enterprise system. So it means outside of the American value system. So you have to bring in people who are against that. It's an excuse to hire people who are against America and against the values of your company or your institution or university. And inclusion is a bunch of policies to make sure they feel welcome and like they belong all the time, which means removing people who disagree with them, giving them special accommodation, giving them special policies and rules, letting them have a seat at the table, letting them take over your thing from the inside.
How widespread is the DEI virus in American society?
It's completely. It's in virtually every established institution. It's the basis of every university with hundreds of administrators at almost every university. They hire them like crazy. It is completely entrenched in literally everything so that they can do exactly what I just said, bring communism in through the back door to install it in the United States. It's a multi-billion dollar industry on top of all of the, like, what people believe in doesn't matter. Multi-billion, the number of careers built off of this. You have to think about that. What are all these people going to do?
Like mid-level management, woke desk workers, basically. Bureaucrats that are similar, and you're the only one, James, and you deserve great credit that I've heard, and other people have copied you, similar to the Mao model.
That's right.
Which is not only do you have bad ideas, but you have a red guard to enforce those ideas.
That's right. Yeah. So the idea there is that Mao had this formula called unity, criticism, unity, and he enforced it through identity politics, which should sound really familiar. He had categories relevant to communism like rich farmer, counter-revolutionary. We have racist, transphobe, homophobe. Those are called the enemies of the people back in Mao's time. And then there are the people, the allies, the activists, the administrators. And like I said, we're talking 100, 150 of these on the taxpayer dime at every university. Every corporation, if they want their ESG score to be good, has to have these people to make sure their policies are all in. It is, in fact, the implementation of a crude social credit system without the digital aspect yet.
So, but James, let me ask you, do our elites or the people, are they consciously copying Mao or accidentally copying Mao?
There are very good reasons to believe that many of the people who are at the, I guess, elite of the elite status know they are copying Mao. They saw the insurgency tactics. They know they work. We know, for example, that they followed the theories of Herbert Marcuse, who appealed to Mao in his writing over and over and over again, his neo-Marxist writings of the 60s. We know that they built their education system around the critical pedagogy of Paulo Freire, who came from Brazil. Well, I don't know if I ever told you, it's in the footnote of the first chapter, Paulo Freire says his education system, his model, is based off of Mao Zedong and what he's doing in China. So I think they do know.
The Mao model also includes, as you mentioned, a social credit system score, but they must get the youth to enforce this. That was the key, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Take over education, build their social and emotional lives out so that they're going to always enforce the new set of policies, the new values, so that they can be part of the people and they can denounce and hate the enemies of the people. That's an intrinsic part of the entire program.
So let me ask you, the Mao takeover, the Cultural Revolution, they had a little red book. I've never asked you this before. What is the equivalent of the little red book here in America?
There's nothing that concise that's the equivalent of the little red book, but I will tell you there's a big red book. There's a very large academic volume called Critical Race Theory, the Key Writings That Formed the Movement. And the critical race theorists, if you ask, do they know that they're Maoists, used to refer to it as the Big Red Book. They knew what they were doing. A lot of the radicals from the 60s who went into education, went into the different institutions, went into employment, went into HR, they were Maoists in the 60s and 70s. They knew who they were. They knew what they were doing.
Would you say what Turning Point is doing is one of the great threats to the Maoification of America?
Yeah, let me tell you a story, as a matter of fact. I got invited to speak on the campus of Northwestern, which they told me while I was there, has 8,700 students, 100 of whom are conservative. So they're outnumbered 86-1 on campus, and they let the woke in to heckle me during my talk. And it was just crazy, right? And so a couple points. I'm talking literally about intersectionality and how it's Maoism in America. And the woke kids in the room were cheering for Mao. They were cheering. When I said Mao would round up the landlords and have them killed, they cheered. When I said that Mao unleashed a red guard from the youth to transform the society and to destroy people's lives and humiliate it, they cheered. And I said, if you really like Mao, cheer for your dictator. And a whole bunch of the kids in the back clapped with the masks on. You know which kids they were, not the good kids.
And so, but what Turning Point is doing is a threat to Maoism, because if there can be even some disharmony with the kind of youth, we have a shot, right?
See, well, this is the thing. Turning Point is present on campuses, especially now high schools. Yes. And it is that 86-1 ratio, that one is very, very active because of Turning Point. And it's crucial. If you can have even 3% of the population of some institution fighting back, they're not going to be able to get their hooks in. That's Turning Point.
So to go, let's keep diving into this. I appreciate the kind words. We're seeing something, and I haven't asked you about this, but it's certainly not according to the plan with this Israel-Hamas donors pulling money, Bill Ackman asking questions. How should we think about this, James? Is this a big deal? Is this a little thing that's going to go away?
No, this is a big deal. This is a moment where, one way to think about this is like the communists are kind of like magic wizards. They like cast a spell so that you don't see society real. Like, clearly. I mean it. They really are. The dialectical wizards, we can get into that another time. But you can't see reality correctly because the words are messed up. They frame everything wrong. Diversity doesn't mean diversity. Inclusion means exclusion. Everything's upside down. Cats are dogs. Black is white. Hot is cold. It's really, they do this. In moments like what happened with the Israel event are a moment where lots of normal people see through the distortion. And they're like, wait, what? And so you see Bill Ackman asking questions. In fact, asking very pointed questions, very vigorous questions. You see people all of a sudden that were just kind of sleepily giving money again and again and again, huge endowments to these universities, saying, I'm not going to. Harvard's down $1 billion in donations. So this is a huge wake-up moment.
Yeah, so what can we do, mostly as conservatives, to help accelerate the civil war of the woke versus the classical liberals? Because that's really what we're seeing, right?
Yeah, that's right.
They were previously partners, previously allies, or at least previously in the same institutions, and there's a schism happening. There's a great schism that could go down in history of classical liberals versus the woke comes.
That's right. It's our job to get educated enough so these people who are starting to see through it and they have questions can find people they trust that have answers that make sense. If we can't give them answers that make sense, they're going to get sucked back into the distortion field. They're going to say, oh, well, we need DEI to just include Jews now, too. Exactly the wrong answer.
So let's talk about that, because there was somebody on our show recently, and her argument, and I just heard her out, and I didn't challenge her, was we need a new civil rights just for Jewish students. I don't think that's a good idea. Do you agree?
We've got to stop building bureaucratic apparatuses that get taken over. Even if it came out of out of its conception and its building is a good thing, it's going to get taken over and infiltrated immediately. The woke love monopolies and bureaucracies, and they take them over like crazy. It's the exact opposite. We need to start talking about people being individuals, seeing people as individuals, and protecting everybody's civil rights.
Which is a Christian idea, and we've talked about this, right? It's a Western idea.
That's right.
That neither slave nor Greek nor Jew, but you are all one in Christ Jesus, made in the image of God, not part of your tribe, not part of your sect, not part of your group. That sort of thinking is very destructive, and it's anti-Western at its core. So James, I'm seeing this play out, and the Ackman thing is interesting, because he singled out in his letter something that you wouldn't expect. He said, Harvard is also anti-white. Where does that come from?
Well, I mean, it's very obvious that critical race theory holds up whiteness as one of its enemies of the people category. It's just an unambiguous thing. This, of course, I think is primarily a provocation. It's very, very tempting to fall into the identity politics.
What do you mean by that?
So, like, if somebody says, you know, oh, it's black versus white, black versus white, long enough, people say, well, I'm on the white team, okay. And then all of a sudden, you're affirming the identity politics that my group is more important than the individual. And so it's an operation to get people to play the part of reinforcing the entire intersectional mindset. What we need to be doing is saying, no, I want to know you for your character. I want to know you for who you are. I want to know you for what you can accomplish. I want to know that if you can you produce more than you consume? I want to know those things about you. And I want to know you for who you are as a person.
Yeah, and what is clear, when Ackman, he was regretful he did not realize the anti-white agenda. He said it himself. What do they mean by whiteness?
Whiteness is actually a form of cultural property that white people are said to be implicated in. So they're not... Technically, critical race theory is not anti-white, except in practice. In theory, it's not. In theory, whiteness, as a form of cultural property that white people gave themselves, what Marx called bourgeois cultural property,
is something that has to be abolished. So they technically, the goal of critical race theory isn't necessarily to get rid of white people or something like that. It's to shame white people into joining the revolution. It's to shame white people out of holding cultural values toward capitalism, toward
free enterprise. It's not about killing them. It's about making them, like, serfs and slaves or something? Or
yeah, just like Mao.
Oh, okay.
It's land reform for people. It's Mao took the farms to do land reform, to reorganize who owned the farms, who owned the land. It was a disaster. Millions of people died. This is the same thing with cultural property instead of physical property.
James, you and I are going to be dialoguing on stage in a little bit. You guys should all check it out. He's so smart, everybody. I love my conversations with Dr. Lindsay. He's amazing. Plug your book and your deal, James.
I got all kinds of deals. You can find me on social at Conceptual James. Website is newdiscourses.com. That's newdiscourses.com. I got a book, Race Marxism. Another book.
That's a great book, by the way.
Marxification.
Cynical theories, race Marxism.
Got a new one coming.
Oh, the rules?
Queering of the American Child.
Wow, that's
about
really
queer theory and education. You won't want to miss it. It's coming in March, probably.
We're going to buy a bunch. Dr. Lindsay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Okay, Kirk fans, I need you to stop and pay attention to this. If you deal with exhaustion, brain fog, mood swings, or food cravings, if you're constantly getting sick or simply lack the zeal you used to have in life, then I have some news for you. A while back, I found a liquid supplement called Strong Cell, and it changed my health in a very profound way. I take it every single day. Look, I knew I had to partner with them. I did the research. You guys can fact check me. Google and look up online what happens when you mix NADH with CoQ10 and marine collagen and combined with many other essential vitamins to boost your body's cellular function. It's simple. Every area of your body has cells, so if your cells are healthier, then you will also be healthier. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to one of these testimonials. After taking Strong Cell for 6 weeks, I found improvement in many areas, less shoulder pain, improved mental clarity, increased natural energy, and so much more. I'm thankful that Charlie Kirk recommended this to his listeners. Rebecca says, I absolutely love Strong Cell. At first, I didn't think it would make much of a difference for my chronic fatigue, depression, and anxiety, but I thought I'd give it a chance. I've tried to find depression meds for 10 years, and since I use Strong Cell, I'm feeling better than I ever have on depression medication. Customer for life. Thank you, Charlie Kirk, for recommending this product. Dr. Mark Ahern said, quote, amazing product, has helped my patients, myself, tremendously. My energy feels like I'm in my 20s again. I love this product. It's Strong Cell. You guys can look up the science, NADH. NAD is the life force that rebuilds your mitochondria. So there it is. You've heard from me directly and some of the users who have seen their lives changed by Strong Cell. I personally recommend taking it every day for at least 30 days. I take it every day before I go on the air, and it's helped me in more ways than I can even name. Go to StrongCell.com and learn more for yourself. That's StrongCell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use discount code Charlie at checkout to get your special 20% discount for Kirk listeners. Each of our bodies is very different, so I would recommend you give the supplement at least 2 to 3 months to see the changes in your body. Visit StrongCell.com/Charlie, or you can call 888-596-0155 to order over the phone. That is 888-596-0155, or visit strongcell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use Charlie discount at checkout to get 20% off your order. You guys have got to check it out right now. NADH with collagen, that combination is amazing. It promotes longevity. It helps with immune system, mental clarity. So check it out right now. Call 888-596-0155 or check out strongcell.com/Charlie.
With us is Tom Homan. So Tom, I have in front of me IDs of people that are now in America that dropped their IDs before they enter America. So this guy is from China, this ID here, and another Chinese national. These are fighting age males, Tom.
Yes.
These are fighting age males from China. We have Russia here. This is a, looks like a, that's a Russian yes. seal, right? That's the Federation. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. It's not showing up on, okay. The Russian Federation. What else? Oh, we have Nepal. You know, I'm told that these people are just seeking asylum. They're seeking asylum from India. We have a lot of Indian passports here. Republic of India coming in. These are real passports that they drop. Tell us about this, Tom.
Well, they drop the passports before they enter the United States because they don't want us to know who they are. Right? So as you can see, I've been down there. I've seen thousands of these things down there. People need to understand, Border Patrol has arrested people from 171 different countries.
That's China right there.
Some of these countries sponsor terror. We got 1.8 million known gotaways. People need to understand, 8.1 million crossed the border, weren't arrested, weren't fingerprinted. Why didn't they take advantage of the Biden giveaway program? Pay less, turn yourself in, get released within 24 hours, get a plane ticket to the city of your choice, get work authorization, 5 to 7 years. Why would you not take advantage of that giveaway? 1.8 million people chose to pay more to get away. That's why we have these documents. They don't want to know who we are. People say, well, we vet them. Even the people at Border Patrol arrest, they get vetted with the information that's available to us. So if you think China is going to share with us any national security sensitive information? Of course not. So when they leave these passports south, we don't know who they are. If we can't find them in any system, then they can claim whoever they want to be.
And they're in America then?
We got almost 9 million have been counted on the border since Joe Biden was president.
So I have a bunch of IDs here. You know what I don't see? I don't see a lot of Central Americans. This mostly India, Russia, China, of the people that are coming and invading our country on a daily basis. So help me understand, Tom, our government has spent $200 billion saying that, you know, we're at war against Russia, and then Russians just waltz right into our country. That doesn't make any sense.
Look, what's happening on the southern border is the biggest national security failure in this country since 9/11. I'm telling you, 1.8 million gotaways, 171 different countries. I'll say it again. Some of these countries are sponsors of terror. Southwest border alone last year, 227 people on terrorist watch list. Same time on the northern border, 432. 659 people on terrorist watch list were actually arrested. How many of the 1.8 came here to do something wrong in this country? This is a serious national security failure, and this is a self-inflicted wound. Under President Trump, in 4 years, 11 were arrested. They arrested 18 just last month. The border was never more secure than it was under President Trump. And we're going to make it secure again under President Trump.
And this is just a taste, everybody. I could go through the country after country. So they dropped their IDs because these people might be rapists. These people might be murderers, right?
Border Patrol's already arrested. People they actually catch, over 86,000 convicted criminals, including 106 convicted murderers, were caught entering their country.
So, I mean, I look at these Chinese guys. These are 25-year-old, muscular, fighting-age males. Look at this one. It's a Mexican ID. So he went to Mexico, stayed there long enough to be able to get an ID. He's a Chinese Communist Party national. It says right here, his name is Lee. And this other guy, Chinese Communist Party national, right here. Do you think the CCP is sending them over?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're poisoning this country with fentanyl. Right? They're sending military-age males over. Look, the Biden administration hasn't done anything about it. And we're in a security, national security failure. Something bad's coming. I'm telling you. This is the biggest national security failure ever. And they haven't done anything to fix it. They haven't held China accountable for the fentanyl. They're not holding China accountable for the smuggling. They haven't held Mexico accountable for allowing people to transit through the country. In this country of Mexico, you actually have to treat a transit visa to transit through Mexico. They're not enforced that law either.
This one right here is a baby from India, right there. Baby from India, Mumbai, into America. And look at this guy. This guy looks like he's going to culturally enrich the country. This is your new American citizen, everybody, or not citizen. He looks like he's great. Or how about this guy here? This is great. This is the great replacement in real time, by the way. They're replacing us. That's what they're doing. Anybody who says it is not looking at the facts. Tom, I'm so glad that you're here. And the Russia one, by the way. Oh, Russia is the greatest threat ever. We hate Vladimir Putin. Oh, Russians are coming in. Well, welcome into America. Tom, you're doing great. Border 911. Can't wait to see you on stage.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Ah, ho, ho, ho.
Hey, what's wrong, Santa?
Well, it's these elves. The new ones all feel entitled. They don't want to work their way up the ladder. In fact, they hardly want to work at all. Then there's those social justice elves. They keep pointing out everyone's differences, dividing the elves and getting them all riled up. And don't get me started about the reindeer rights elves. The shop floor just isn't the happy little place it used to be.
We should have used Red Balloon.
That's right, Santa. RedBalloon.work is America's woke-free job board. Every day, we help good companies find reliable, motivated job seekers without all the woke nonsense. And our new Red Balloon recruiter service is turning traditional corporate recruiting on its head, delivering high-quality employees for a fraction of the price. Give yourself a Christmas gift and post your jobs on RedBalloon.work today. And use promo code SALEM to get 10% off your first month's job posting, because life's too short for a bad hire.